Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
It's Thursday morning here. LA Catholic Mornings starting your day.
Woohoo!
Todd Sylvester's there. I'm Ellen Taylor. Mike Romano, Reed Hodges. We got in studio guests all day. So that's exciting. Todd, you mentioned today is the feast day of St. Athanasius.
Yeah.
You said it correctly.
You got it.
Maybe you could give our listeners the layman's Cliff Notes term for he battled heresy, you said.
Correct.
The Mass.
The Arian heresy.
The Arian heresy. Which is what?
Which we forget how much that was affecting the church at that time. People did not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ.
As a person.
As a person.
Okay.
They thought that he was the highest created being,
okay,
but he wasn't divine because they see that relationship of a father and a son. Like, I have sons, okay, and I'm their dad, so obviously I came first. So the struggle with Arius was he saw the father that he must have then created Jesus as the Son. So it was just trying to understand the Trinity, which is still a mystery to us. I mean, we can kind of see it, but it's just, it's hard. It's hard to wrap our mind around.
Especially our human mind, because that thought of three persons in one God, you know, even 2,000 years later, we still kind of...
But that's why I'm so grateful for the gift of the church, because you've got people like Athanasius, who the poor guy was exiled several times because of this. But he continued to bring forth the truth, and that's why we have the church, and it is such a blessing to all of us.
Well, we are going to pray for his intercession today in our church and all around the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty, ever-living God, who raised up the bishop, St. Athanasius, as an outstanding champion of your Son's divinity, mercifully grant that rejoicing in his teaching and his protection, we may never cease to grow in knowledge and love of you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Cromwell & Associates, a non-traditional law firm that focuses on estate and business planning. Cromwell & Associates can be reached at 251-605-9075 or visit cromwell.associates.
And in world news, Arizona's 1864 abortion ban will soon be gone from the state's law books, but not from the campaign trail. Even after the state Senate voted yesterday to repeal a law banning nearly all abortions, Democrats running in the battleground state say they will make the Civil War era law a centerpiece of their focus on reproductive rights. Thousands of pilgrims come together each year to take part in the annual Walk to Mary, which takes place on the first Saturday of May in Wisconsin. The 21-mile pilgrimage starts at the National Shrine of St. Joseph in Des Peres, Wisconsin, and ends at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion in Champion, Wisconsin. The Walk to Mary will take place on May 4th this year and includes several join-in points along the route that offer participants unable to walk the entire distance to participate. Police removed barricades and began dismantling a pro-Palestinian demonstrators' fortified encampment early this morning at the University of California, Los Angeles, after hundreds of protesters defied police orders to leave about 24 hours after counter-protesters attacked a tent encampment on the campus. Artists from Universal Music Group, which include Taylor Swift, Drake, Adele, Bad Bunny, and Billie Eilish, will be returning to TikTok as the two parties have struck a new licensing agreement following an approximately three-month-long dispute. The two sides said they are now working expeditiously to return music by artists represented by the UM Group and songwriters represented by the Universal Music Publishing Group to TikTok in due course. A Pennsylvania man who credits an alligator named Wally for helping relieve his depression for nearly a decade, says he is searching for the reptile after it went missing during a vacation to the coast of Georgia.
He's in the pond.
Yeah, he's somewhere.
That. That's where he is.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Joey Henney has thousands of social media users following his pages devoted to Wally. He has posted photos and videos online of people petting the alligator, and it was even denied entry to a Philadelphia Phillies game last year. So,
well, what are you bringing the alligator on a lead? I'm not sitting next to the alligator at the game. I'll tell you right now.
Now. Speaking of sports, the Mavericks beat the Clippers to take a 3-2 lead in the series.
Heat got eliminated, Miami Heat, too.
Yeah. I do have to make a comment, though.
About Wally?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, not on Wally.
Okay.
I mean, if a guy wants a gator, that's fine. It's the fact that we have to be cautious about how the languages are being used in the fight for truth. Like you mentioned the abortion law in Arizona. And you notice how the Democrats are saying it's reproductive rights.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? That's not what this is about, because the reproduction has taken place. Mm-hmm. Those are children. It's about the right that they want to be able to end the life of that child. Okay, so
you're very true, and it goes right over your head
because you say it. Yeah, and they say it. Oh, we're fighting for reproductive rights.
Right.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
you're not fighting for that. You're fighting for the right to end the life of that child who has been reproduced.
You know, when I'm reading news articles, I can always tell the slant of the writer based on which language they use in it.
Yeah.
Sadly, a state.
Yeah, we just have to guard ourselves.
Oh yeah,
guard ourselves.
Well, our first in-studio guests are here and mic'd up and ready to go. Two Knights of Columbus are in the
Woo-hoo!
Building. From Christ the King Parish, we've got Chuck Baliamente over there, unmic'd at the moment, but standing in the corner. And with us to speak about program that they are supporting called Compassionate Burials for Indigent Babies is William Wilhelm. Thanks for joining us in studio, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Great. So this article caught our attention here because you got some coverage in the Catholic Week of how you were supporting this group. How do you pronounce it? CBIB? Do they have like a moniker for it, or it's just called Compassionate Burials for Indigent Babies?
CBIB. CBIB would be correct.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this and how you all as Knights are supporting it?
Okay. So CBIB was founded in 2002 by Miss Lise Nakari. And they believe that all human life is precious and sacred.
Amen. So do we.
Yeah.
And for over 20 years, with help of the Knights of Columbus, many volunteers, and the Legion of Mary, they've buried over 360 babies, including 41 last year.
Nice.
They also headed up and fought with Louisiana Right to Life to pass legislation in Louisiana. It was House Bill 618, the Compassionate Burial Options Act, which it requires medical staff to advise patients that they have the right to bury their child. Mm. So in a lot of states, and I think in Louisiana it used to be less than 12 weeks of development, the child was simply discarded in medical waste.
Right.
So this allows... this enforces, medical staff to advise them of their right to bury their child. And that was passed in 2016. For those that are indigent and can't afford something like that, that's where CBIB steps in. And Ms. Lees has relationships with funeral homes and cemeteries in the greater New Orleans area, and she handles it from there. Contacts the funeral home, and it goes from there, and the families don't have to worry about anything anymore. They've also stepped in for babies that were abandoned in trash cans or buried in shallow graves, and the volunteers with Compassionate Burials take those babies, name them, and bury them with dignity.
Wow. Mm. How did y'all hear about this organization?
So whenever I took over as faithful navigator of Bay of the Holy Spirit Assembly, 2573 in Daphne. It was in some of the paperwork that the Knights of Columbus went through a regalia or uniform change in 2018.
I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I don't know if I'm the biggest fan, but that's a conversation for another day.
That was a hot topic.
It was. So the capes on the old regalia were being donated to Compassionate Burials, and they were using the silk liners of varying colors to line the caskets.
Oh, and they also, that's cool.
Yeah. So they also take wedding dresses, and they use wedding dresses to create the gowns or to line the caskets as well. And my beautiful wife, Natasha, she actually had posted on Facebook, and she was able to get several wedding dresses donated from the community, and she and I took those dresses and capes to Louisiana and delivered them along with Chuck's dress that he donated.
Mm-hmm.
So
my wife's dress.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Chuck's wife's dress.
We were going to make a comment, but it's Catholic
it was a
radio.
Little, it would have been a little small for me.
Yeah.
Well, that must have been a fun thing to do, to drive over with all that, knowing exactly what it was going for.
It was, and I've said that Chuck and his family were so gracious to donate Miss Debbie's dress that instead of shipping it, I didn't feel comfortable with that. You know, I wanted to – he entrusted me with that honor, and I wanted to be able to take it and deliver it, hand-deliver it, to Compassionate Burials.
That is so beautiful. Wow.
So is there any possibility of having Compassionate Burials here? Do we have that? Or are you all working with the Louisiana organization and will they expand?
Let me interrupt you just for a second. There is going on. Some of the people at Christ the King have begun that Compassionate Burials.
Good.
It's almost unknown of. We have a friend who's made caskets for the babies, and they're unused. So she's hoping that it begins again, because she has two caskets already lined and everything, to be able to offer to them.
And that's the prayer too, that maybe we could get legislation here or in other states. And the Knights of Columbus, the local Knights of Columbus there, they provide honor guards, act as pallbearers and stuff like that for these funerals and things like that. And of course, the dresses and the capes, given their size, a lot of times they can be used for multiple babies.
Right.
So they also take monetary donations, as we all know, funeral expenses and stuff like that. Even though she's built these relationships in that community, it does still cost money, and those donations can be made on their website, cbibinc.com, and they can also be found on Facebook at Compassionate Burials for Indigent Babies. And I would also like to add, too, that, for Catholic men 18 and older who are interested in joining the Knights or who don't have the information that they need to make that decision to join the Knights, reach out to your local councils and ask those questions. The Knights are a brotherhood in faith, and they're doing great things all around the world, and it's absolutely a wonderful thing to be a part of.
How did you first get connected to the Knights?
A friend of mine, Jonathan Brooks, he lives in Hattiesburg, and he's a past Grand Knight, past Faithful Navigator, and he and I were talking about it. We both, our families, we all converted back in 2011, and, he said that, it was a wonderful thing, and so I reached out to the Daphne Council and got a call back, and it kind of took off from there.
Yeah.
There you go. And next thing, they give you a job to put you in charge of things.
Yeah. What is Faithful Navigator for those of us who are?
Kind of in a layman's, it would kind of be like a CEO type thing.
Got it.
Help lead the meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
Or it would be similar to a Grand Knight for a council. Right. So our assembly actually is comprised of knights from the Daphne Council at Christ the King, St. Lawrence Council here in Fairhope, St. Agatha and Bay Minette, and we also have members from St. Dominic and Mobile.
Hmm. Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a spread.
My dad was a knight all his life, yeah. He had the little pin, being there for 25 years. Yeah.
He always asked for my help for the Tootsie Roll drive. It was great.
My dad did the fish fry.
I do want to mention one thing, though, concerning this, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. Because I know there are going to be some people listening to this who, let's say, they had an early miscarriage and they went possibly to the hospital and they had a DNC and they didn't bury the remains of the child, I don't want them to feel guilty about that. Because in the midst of that situation, you know, we experience miscarriage three times in our marriage, and it is a very stressful time where you're not necessarily, you know, in the right mind. Mm-hmm. And if somebody doesn't step forward and say, hey, we can bury the remains, you know, because it's so early that there's nothing really recognizable. Does that make sense?
Right, right. And that it's great that you point that out, because Miss Lee's told me the same thing. She said that so many women, she'll get calls from women who are just scared. They don't know what to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes she'll be able to get in contact with them and help them, but that's absolutely a good point. And that's why this spoke to me so much, because before me, my mom also had a miscarriage, and I remember her saying how much that impacted her. Yeah. And then the thought of my brother or sister just being thrown in the trash, mm-hmm. just, you know, with right. medical waste, you know, it really spoke to me. And I think this is a great mission, and one that we support fully, and hopefully, you know, we get something similar here. And
I think it's important, too, that you're on the air speaking about this, so people have this on the top of their mind or tucked back in some
place.
To
know that the option is there.
Yeah, because they may not be in a situation now, but it may happen down the road, and they'll be able to just reach out to the perhaps even just, you can't remember the name of, what's that website? The Knights of Columbus and Daphne, you know, I'm sure right. if you contact them, they will surely help you.
And it is beautiful that this all flies under the radar. Like we had some other friends that had a very later term miscarriage. It was actually officially a stillborn child. Mm-hmm. And they were all, I mean, I know the word indigent sounds harsh, mm-hmm. but they were financially strapped, let's put it mm-hmm. that way. And someone reached out to them, and immediately everything was taken care of. Like, it was incredible. So we were able to go to this funeral, and it was just beautiful. And I even asked him, I said, well, how, you know, where is the baby being buried? And they said, they've got an area in the cemetery specifically for children who are lost this way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, and no one knows about right. this kind of mm-hmm. stuff, William.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And again, you know, I didn't know about it either. And when I heard about it, it just, you know, it spoke to me, and like I said, it's just kind of taken off from there.
That's beautiful.
It's been a very wonderful experience, and hopefully it, you know, reaches out to others, and
now, are you looking for more donations, or
you know,
people are listening right now, going, I got a wedding dress
exactly it's sitting
up
in
the
closet.
Attic. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, they can be directly donated to CBIB. Yeah. On their website. Like I said, CBIBINC.com. And they can reach out to Miss Lee's and find nice. Out, you know, what they need and things like that.
Awesome.
We definitely want to get the word out there outside of the New Orleans area. And like I said, maybe somebody's listening who wants to take on this challenge of doing it here. Maybe there's, you know, legislators out there that hear this and say, you know what, this would be a wonderful law for our own state.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
That
Fantastic.
Is good.
Beautiful,
well, we appreciate beautiful. All the good work you Knights do there for the community and the Catholic men of this archdiocese. Thank you very much.
Yes, William, thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Great. Oh, look at that. We're rolling along, Todd.
Indeed.
Dr. Bridget Hanahan's joining the show next in studio, how parents can help their child with a bully. And we're going to have some pointers from that from a Catholic perspective. Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
Then my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great Reed in studio. Dr. Bridget Hanahan here to speak to us about dealing with bullying. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning.
Thanks
I'm glad
so
to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, when we were kids, bullying was different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think, easier to deal with because it was much more obvious. But now, I think with social media, it can be so sneaky. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, and you never get away from it. And that's the whole reason bullying was so hard to begin with, because you're a captive audience, right? You're at school. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. You can't just leave. And so now with social media, you never get away from that social atmosphere. They're online and it's happening there.
Oh, man. Because it used to be the safe zone.
Yeah.
You know, when I got home, I was away from it.
That's right.
Because I was bullied when I was younger. I was a kind of a chunky kid and, you know,
really?
Was made fun of. Yeah.
I got to see pictures.
Oh, yeah. I've tried to destroy most of them. But.
I also was bullied, but not for being chunky.
But I mean, I think some of us, we get the target, but I was safe at home. I was mm-hmm. safe at home.
Yeah, whereas it's your sanctuary.
Whereas with these kids, they're not, are they?
No. Not always. I mean, unless the parents, you know, really limit that social media. But if it's happening kind of behind their back, so it keeps them as a target. Even if, say, the kid was protected and they didn't see or hear any of this, it's accelerating in their, you know, behind their back. And so then it, you know, it's more painful when it happens at school or whatever.
So every decade, it's like there's a new problem we got to address and untangle again. How do we counteract that? Because it's pervasive. It's everywhere. You think you're protecting your kid. They're at home, and yet they're not really protected. So what kind of are the basics that we could start with on protecting?
Well, I mean, I think first we need to define what we're talking about. So okay. One of my pet peeves is using a label for a person, right? So if we say, there's a bully in my kid's class. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. There is a kid in your kid's class, and that kid has some problems, and they're expressing that with aggression. And then what specifically are they doing? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, you know, the teasing that we grew up with as a kid, that gets called bullying. And it's kind of more like, you know, mild and something that that your child could learn to deal with and respond to. And then sometimes it actually is, you know, a higher level of aggression that needs to be addressed by an adult and that. So I think defining terms is really important first. And that labeling is so dehumanizing when you call a kid a bully or when you call your child a victim or the principals or whoever refer to it. Mm-hmm. It creates this identity and it feels permanent, right? Mm-hmm. Like it feels like something that we can't be redeemed from or something that we can't, you know, come out of.
I can understand that because I don't think I ever referred to myself as a victim. I think
no,
I was just kind of
yeah.
targeted yeah. a little bit. And I also knew that when I grew out of it and lost some weight, then it kind of stopped. So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So are we overemphasizing, are we classifying everything as bullying that needs a parental oversight and intervention? Because I think part of the other problem that stems from this too is we're not teaching kids how to deal with some of the minor issues and
exactly.
work them out in an age-appropriate way mm-hmm. because you learn all things about resolution of conflict and all these kind of things that we learned young, Chunky Todd,
yeah.
that we're not teaching kids to do either. And now we've got a generation of young adults that don't know how to handle disagreements on opinions or conflicts, too. So
yeah.
it's a big mess we've wrapped ourselves in.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, though, Ellen, that we aren't necessarily solution-focused mm-hmm. with our kids. So even if your child does report something to you, which, you know, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just suffer silently. Mm-hmm. But if they do, you know, asking those questions, asking
right.
those specific but open-ended questions. So something like, you know, who did you sit with at lunch today? You know, mm-hmm. they can't say yes or no to that. Like they have to mm-hmm. say the names of the kids. What did you talk about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and asking them, you know, what was something that good that happened at school today? What was something
right.
that, you know, was confusing or that, you know, you didn't like? And just kind of asking that as part of your routine. And, of course, kids, they're going to a lot of times say, I don't know, nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
You don't know.
But it's sort of like giving your kids vegetables on the plate. They may not eat it, but mm-hmm. you have to put it there, right? And that's so that they know that you're receptive, that you want to hear details about their day.
All right. So then what do we do if they do kind of identify that there is a problem? How do we assess if it really is a problem or,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you never know as a parent. I feel like I failed like 80% of the time.
Oh, me too.
Because I'll say things like, you know, toughen up. You know, I don't know if I should be saying that.
Well, I mean, sometimes maybe you should. But I think the first step is to, you know, not label. Just okay. don't jump
that's
to that.
That's so uh-huh. hard.
Oh, yeah. We got to put everybody in a category.
That's so hard.
Yeah, because labeling, this is why it's so nefarious, right? We're sort of dismissing the behavior, and we're labeling the person. And it's like, I mean, and that may mean different things to different people. So I would first say, don't label. Don't label your child. Don't label. And parents will label teachers, right? Like yeah. they'll criticize the teacher, and that just creates that your child has to spend 7 hours a day with this person.
Right.
You know, try to see them in the most positive light so that you can work forward. So don't label. And then the second thing would be ask your child what ideas they have to handle the situation. And they probably don't have any ideas, but it at least creates the expectation of,
yeah,
oh,
you're trying to empower them.
I could
yeah.
come up with a plan. And then what kind of help do they need from you? Maybe they just want you to listen many, many, many times. They just want you to know that this happened. They want you to hear it. And they don't want you to go talk to the school. And sometimes they'll tell that. And, you know, as a parent, sometimes you'll use your judgment and you'll be like, well, I'm sorry, I have to, you know, have to do this. But a lot of times, you know, if we jump to go to the teacher or to the principal or to the other parent, we escalate the bullying because then that kid is in trouble and maybe nothing specifically is going to be done to help the child. And so just holding back unless it's something really, you know, dangerous or egregious.
Okay, now I feel terrible because, like, I don't know what to do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to call Bridget because I just don't know what to do. Because in those situations, you know, you don't want to be the helicopter parent or the lawnmower parent
right,
or
yeah.
any of the other terms, you know, the labeling that we're not supposed to be using anyway.
I know, right? I'm trapping you so you have to come talk to me. No, seriously, though. But, you know, it's okay because remember, you're always modeling. And so it's okay as an adult to say, gosh, I'm not sure really how to respond to this. I'm going to go pray about that. And I'm going to come back to you on this. And then, of course, do come back to them. So that gives them that model of like, this is important. And it's so important that I don't know yet how to respond, but I'm going to really put some thought and some prayer into it.
I think one of the challenges parents have is over the last couple decades and just the obvious rise in school shootings. Mm-hmm. So your first thought maybe as a parent is, it's going to get all the way to something terribly tragic happening. So I need to step in. And I think what's difficult for parents and what you're trying to guide them on, which is so helpful, is where to step in, how much to step in. Because we all don't want to be those people that look back, you know, after a terrible event happens someplace and go, oh, we should have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're the two extreme ends of this problem. But parents sometimes, and to their benefit, they err on the side of being too cautious, too parenty, too helicoptery, mm-hmm. because we've seen in the news of what tragic results can be of parents not getting involved.
And I'm assuming you mean that the person who has been bullied then retaliates.
Either that or the bullier is somebody that really had more problems than we thought mm-hmm. was just bullying there. So yeah. it could be either a character in the scenario too.
Well, it more commonly uh-huh. is that the person who feels like a victim is then going and exacting revenge and retaliating.
Okay.
So that's one of the practical reason of why I would focus on the child who is aggressive
okay.
as that child is in trouble. You know, this doesn't come out of nowhere. This is a person who, you know, has been victimized at some point or has mm-hmm. been abused or neglected. And so, you know, I was at the Catholic Psychotherapy Association last week and, it was a great presentation by Father Bryce Sibley. He's in Lafayette, Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana, and he has worked with college students a lot. And, you know, he went through three parts of what young people need. They need to be seen, right? They need to be known, and they need to be loved. And so if you have someone who's being aggressive to other kids, they haven't been seen. They haven't been known. They haven't been loved. And so that's where, you know, really preventatively we start with that.
Well, and you talk about that, Todd, in youth
groups.
Yeah,
with youth ministry.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that all the time because
yeah.
the kids just don't feel recognized
mm-hmm.
at all, and they don't feel loved. And then therefore, I mean, we jump ahead and we try to catechize them immediately. Mm-hmm. It's like, listen, you're pouring water into a colander.
Exactly.
It's like you've got to get it to a point where they can hold this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, and they feel unworthy, right? That's the first thing. You could catechize them all you want, tell them about God's love, but if they don't feel worthy of the human love, that's hard for them to relate to that.
All right, so give us some more practical things.
I like bullet points.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's review. Tom, what was the first thing I said?
Don't label.
Exactly.
Oh, good.
And then the second thing?
I forget.
Okay, good. At least we got that far. What's your ideas of how you might handle this?
Okay.
And then
put them in the driver's seat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And kind of empower
that expectation,
them.
Yeah, that you could handle this. Let's see if you can figure out a way. And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, they won't have an idea. But a lot of times, you know, they may surprise you, right? And say, oh, I'll do this or I'll stick that. Okay, that sounds like a good plan. Or, okay, what might happen when you do that? What do you, you know, help them anticipate consequences? And then what kind of help do you need from me on this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would certainly do that before you go to the teacher, before you go to the principal. What kind of help do you want? They definitely want you to listen. And that's, you know, really number one before don't label is listen and ask. Mm-hmm. So you want to listen, you know, ask them those open-ended specific questions about their day at school and then listen to the answers. And then, and don't assume just because they've said, you know, the last 10 days, I don't know, nothing, that they're going to do that again. Just keep asking.
All right. Can I ask, on an aside, you had mentioned briefly about limiting some of the social media use. What are your recommendations on that?
Oh, my gosh.
Throw it in the garbage.
It's so hard, Todd, because I really want to say, don't let them have it. You know, don't even let them have a smartphone. But, you know, I know that would be, you know, sort of like what my mom used to say. It doesn't matter how nutritious the meal is that you prepare for your kids. If they don't eat it, it doesn't do it any good. So if I'm telling parents something that's unrealistic for them, for their child, or that the horse is already out of the barn, then that's not helpful. So I would say limit it as much as you can. At a minimum, put the phone, you know, in the parents' bedroom at night, so that, you know, because there's a lot of nighttime, you know, interruption of sleep at a minimum, and then, you know, things that happen in the night that are not good. So I would definitely say, you know, put it up at night, and then I would put it off as long as you can in terms of smartphone and social media and all of that. It's very destructive for teenagers, especially girls.
Is the response from parents about bullying, is it different when it's on social media versus when it's, you know, somebody stole my lunch money, you know, going back decades?
Wow.
Might have done you a favor, Todd, if you were chunky.
That's what I pulled out of my quiver, Todd. Stole my lunch money.
Wow.
Because it is. I mean, and parents may not even be able to deal with, well, what do you mean you're getting bullied here. It's just where you look at pictures on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and here's another unrealistic expectation I'll make that I actually didn't follow myself. So in full disclosure, you can monitor, you know, their social media. You can monitor their phone as a parent. You know, you're paying for that cell phone. You can monitor that. You can ask them for it, but they have lots of ways of hiding things too. But you can also just have, you know, kind of the surreptitious monitoring where, you know, whatever it is going on with the technology that you can, it goes to your phone or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'd say that, but also, you know, that's the thing about the cyberbullying is that you can document that, like it's there, and the police, you can call the police about this. They will respond to that because, you know, it reaches kind of my son just graduated law school. So he told me this is not necessarily a criminal offense, but libel and slander, these are things that, you know, are not okay from a legal perspective. And so if they're putting something in print about your child that's derogatory, then that is something that needs attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
golly.
It's a brave new world there, Tom.
Well, and it's not fun.
No.
Because as a dad, you know, I want to protect my children. And just as we talked about, the home is the sanctuary. When my kids are home, I put the roof on that house. You know, I can lock the doors at night, and then they're safe. But with the technology, it's just so difficult because that stuff can come in.
Yeah, but, you know, what you're doing also is you're building the foundation and the skills for them to combat whatever they encounter. So, you know, empathy is huge. So starting with, you know, just noticing their feelings like, oh, I see that you're frustrated, or gosh, maybe that made you a little angry, or, you know, you seem really sad or down. And so creating that language of like what their feelings are so that they have that to say, oh man, I felt this or I did that. And then also they can respond with empathy to other people. They can't have empathy until their own feelings have been recognized and they've been able to voice those.
But even with that, like you still feel at times like there's a deprivation. Like I remember one of my older daughters now, okay, she's been out of the house for years. I told her one time when she was down, I was like, you are the most beautiful young woman. And, you know, do you realize how much you're loved? And this is what she said to me. She goes, Dad, you have to say that to me. And I'm like, that's not fair.
Right.
That is so not fair. Because, you know, it felt like my words didn't have as much weight because she needed it to be recognized from someone else in the world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. They want to belong. They want to belong with their peer group. Right. And it is essential that they belong with the family. So not to discount, you know, what you offered, because that's sort of like, you know, it's just you already had that foundation. But then there is that other level of social acceptance, too.
Can you battle some of this by kind of making sure you're, you know, we're trying to raise Catholic kids and Catholic families by making sure your kids are surrounded by other like-minded peers? Because sometimes some of these behaviors, they're so out of the norm from what families, intact families are trying to raise here, that they get kind of influences from things that are not really in their, you know, something known to us as we're trying to raise Catholic kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's good to, you know, be somewhat of a social engineer. Like, you can go overboard with this very easily.
Yes.
See it happen a lot. But yeah, so you want to pay attention to that and be the one that has the kids to your house, because then you learn a lot. You learn about how your kid is interacting, how other people are treating them. You know, maybe you learn a little bit about what their social skills are when you observe them, you know.
My wife and I wanted to go back to arranged marriages for a while.
Well, it's true. By having your children's friends to your house, you get to see how do they interact with adults, how were they raised, the nuggets, the things you can see behind the scenes to know that is this the type of quality kid you want your kid hanging out with. And I think that that's essential too.
I
think having a strong peer group of like-minded kids is essential to helping your kid have a more balanced teenagers.
Yeah, and driving them somewhere is huge, because somehow you disappear. You become like a chauffeur that has the screen across that they think that you can't hear, and you know, you're driving, you're focused on that, but you're like absorbing what the social interactions are like. You can learn a lot that
way. All right, so give us the breakdown here in the close.
Okay, so ask in an open-ended, specific way. Listen. Mm-hmm. And then don't label. Get specifics about what happened so that you're not labeling the child, you're labeling the behavior. And then ask your child what ideas or plans they might have to deal with the situation. Ask them what type of help they would need from you. And then, you know, decide if you're going to intervene. And if you don't know, tell your child, gosh, this is a really difficult situation, and you empathize with them, you know, for how they're feeling about it. And I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to come back with you, and we'll talk about it again to see, you know, where we're going.
After they call you.
Yeah. Good advice from Dr. Bridget Hanahan. Thank you so much for coming in studio and
talking
about
these
issues of the day. Huh. What a treasure.
Indeed.
Hey. We got another guest waiting outside to come in. Drew Williams is going to talk about Camp Cardinal next on LA Catholic Morning. Stay with us.
If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Alan Taylor, Michael Graydon Reed. In studio, Drew Williams, a theology teacher at St. Michael Catholic High School, here to speak to us about Camp Cardinal. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Todd. Thank you for having me on.
Camp Cardinal. All right, I was checking it out, and can an adult go?
Because look at you.
I want to go to the adulting class. Because I don't know if I'm doing it very well.
Yeah, I as well. Come up.
Yes, yes. Lee Walker, one of our newer instructors here at St. Michael, has put together this great adulting class. All the skills, hypothetically, you need to succeed in the world, right? So looking forward to what she does with that. We have a ton of incredible camps this summer. Our camps fall in the air. Well, what is Camp Cardinal? Camp Cardinal is our sort of umbrella program of camps offered on the campus of St. Michael. So we have close to 30 camps from our various instructors, our teachers, and sort of alumni of our school. So the camps fall in the areas of academic enrichment, fine arts, and athletics, right? So we've got everything from football with Coach Rivers to basketball with our basketball staff from the school. We've got arts. I think Jessa Pippen is offering a sort of painting like the 2D and 3D masters, you know. We've got ways for your student to accelerate their abilities and essay writing and all sorts of things like that. So it's going to be a great summer with us.
All right, so how do people sign up for this?
So you can find all of our registration on our website. It's our St. Michael website. You'll see there's a little blurb there in the middle of the screen that take you to a registration link.
All right. And what are the ages that can go? Because I was kind of half joking about
that. Yeah, no. Todd would
ceramics.
Sign up. Yeah.
I'm thinking ceramics.
I loved ceramics as a kid.
Todd, if you know,
I know.
If you sort of see,
I don't
want to
be the creepy adult. No, so I mean,
you have such a the assistant, childlike demeanor.
You're assistant you know? Professor.
What ages is this Todd? For, Drew?
All right, so it starts in rising second grade, runs all the way through rising senior year of high school. All right, so and the camps are sort of divided up. So let's say you've got second through fifth grade with one of Jess's courses in art, or we have a couple of the athletics courses are for older kids, and then a couple of those sort of fine-tuning those skills and things like Adulting 101 for our high school students.
And then how does it work, like, if I want to do a bunch of stuff? Like, I want to learn how to throw a football from Coach Rivers, but I also want to do ceramics.
You know, if you want to craft a football out of sort of
no, that might be no better. I want to throw a real football.
That might be, you might be better at crafting the ceramic football.
So I could throw them. I could throw that football past the mountains.
That's nice. Right. That's
the
right.
Ceramic
Napoleon
football
Dynamite.
That he made.
Speaking of Napoleon Dynamite, there actually we have theater offerings as well. I don't want to forget to mention Ethan Bennett, our theater instructor at the school, is doing middle school and high school
everything.
Theater.
Yeah.
We really do. It's I'm very, very proud of our instructors for what they put together. You ask sort of if they want to do multiple camps. So our camps run the four. They start each Monday in June, so I believe it's June 3rd, the 10th, 17th, and the 24th. They run Monday through Thursday, and the camps are either in the morning or the afternoon. So morning camps run from 9 to noon, and then we're offering sort of a free lunch care. You know, bring a bag lunch, hang out for, you know, 30 minutes or so.
So you can do double camp.
That's right. You can double up on camps if you're a double dipper.
Oh, I am.
You don't want to double dip the chip. Certainly want to double dip at the camps, though, right?
Yes.
So if you want to do football in the morning and then you're really feeling athletic, you want to do sports lifting, say, in the afternoon with Missy Calvary. Lots and lots of options for our kids. So, again, 4 weeks of June is going to be a lot of fun.
Now, the writing stuff and things like that, I mean, that's especially for the kids that kind of struggle with that kind of stuff.
You know, we really like to address the needs of every level of learner, right? So if you're a student that maybe needs some extra support in the classroom, you know, if you are someone that's just looking to sort of push their skills to the next level in preparation for college, we can kind of, Kendall Morgan, one of our English teachers, is running this camp that's sort of a grammar boot camp and essay writing. I believe she also has some interest in creative writing as well. So lots of kind of ways to, like I say, whatever level learner you're at, we want to kind of meet you there. So and that's the nice part about these smaller camps is, particularly with the academic enrichment, it's really, we can make it sort of a tailored experience for you as well.
Okay, can I be the dad in the room?
Oh, here he comes. He's getting out the checkbook.
And, yeah, I mean, yeah. And just ask
or
about
the Venmo
the cost.
Paying
I just
now.
Want to ask about the cost.
Yeah, so it's $150 per camp. And that is all of our camps. So if it's athletics, fine arts, academic enrichment. The only other camp that we offer is Driver's Ed, which is sort of a special program that's $275 because it runs for a couple weeks in the month of July. And you can find some information about that on our website, too. But
so the rising second graders camp.
Yeah,
Driver's
I don't
Ed.
Know how they're going to do that. One, yeah.
That'd be super cool.
I don't think their feet can reach the pedals yet.
You want to talk about a break on your insurance. Or you maybe breaking your insurance.
Nice.
I don't know.
Nice.
I noticed camps are in June. And I heard a parent say this that was looking at camps for their kid yesterday. Why are all camps only in June? What am I supposed to do in July? Is that just the nature you have staff available? Or
that's right. Yeah, we have our staff are available in June. And, you know, as I mean, Todd, you know, you spend time in the classroom, right? We sleep in July.
You got to get a break. I mean, you have to.
Nobody gives me July off, Todd. I know.
We sort of, at least, I don't know, you know, my wife is a teacher as well, and we will go into sort of the great sleep of July, kind of a hibernative period. And
with the air conditioner pumped
down. I don't think you will with the baby.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
You got a baby this year.
This will be different. We will emerge after 4 weeks' time and hope to be ready for August.
Indeed.
Todd's adding the siesta back into his July rotation.
Maybe you should have like a napping camp.
Yes, I would sign up for
that. If you have the adulting camp, that was the one that caught my attention. Because seriously, as a parent, you know, sometimes you, because my kids have even told me that. They're like, well, Dad, you didn't really teach us that. Mm-hmm. You know, because you kind of just assume sometimes that the information is transferred through osmosis, and it's not. And it's not. That's why I'm really excited, actually. I'm not joking about that class.
Yeah, Lee's got a lot of skills. Lee Walker, as I mentioned, one of our new instructors at St. Michael. Lee comes to us from the public school system, but she just has a ton of skills. Her family has a couple businesses, I believe, and they this new Fairhope Nutrition, you know. So if there's anyone that you can kind of trust to teach your kids, you know, how to handle
this
finances
is good, Todd.
And things like that.
This is what you'll learn in Adulting 101. Okay. You want to hear what you're going to get?
Yes, I do.
Financial literacy, auto maintenance.
I don't have that. Whoa, auto maintenance?
No, you could teach that. Fundamental culinary skills, laundry mastery. Effective employment strategies and communication techniques.
Are you kidding me?
That sounds
awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to be honest. The culinary skills, that one surprised me. I forgot that was in there.
Oh, yeah. Here's the microwave. Yeah, I'm
trying to get kids to get into the habit, and I don't blame them, of checking the oil.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Hey, I've started doing that since you taught me.
Thank you, Jesus.
No, thank you.
I'm still not doing it, but I have my card out. Car out front every day, and Todd could check it for me if he was.
I'll check. And he will.
I know. See,
because it needs to be done.
I think a woodpecker poked a hole in my eaves too. I need to come over and look at that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's part of adulting.
This is our adulting class.
We should have a Todd catch-all class.
Fascia board repair.
Exactly.
Yes. Come meet a camp next summer. That's right. Come and join our staff.
That sounds great. Again, okay, how do people sign up?
On our website, it's the St. Michael Catholic High School website. You'll see on there, we've got a little
which
blurb.
Is what the
stmichaelchs.org. Okay. We have been splattering our material on social media, so I'm not sure that's an appropriate verb to use. But we have been throwing it up there, so please be sure to come and check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram. That's the St. Michael Catholic High School, our athletics page. And you can find all of our materials there. Also look for our ads in your parish bulletin. We've sent flyers home with your kids if you're in our Catholic schools. So we greatly, greatly look forward to seeing you in the 4 months of June. And if you have any questions, please, please, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. That is campcardinal@stmichaelchs.org. And again, you can find all of our information on the website.
Awesome. Drew, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Congratulations on that baby coming.
Woo-hoo!
We thank our sponsor, Ike's Beach Service, with locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Fort Morgan, and Perdido Key. Enjoy fun in the sun with Ike's Beach Services, including paddle boards, parasailing, and beach equipment rentals. Visit ikesbeachservice.com or call 251-948-3757. Mike, what's happening tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow, Tom McDonald previews Fall Guy. We'll talk with Alyssa Murphy about Bill Maher's comments on the pro-life movement. And Father Andrew Jones has our Sunday Gospel Reflection.
Today, St. Athanasius.
Yes.
Doctor of the Church. There's only about 36 of them, so...
Todd has them all memorized, too, I think.
No.
Yeah, you
okay,
do.
We're going to have really a Doctor of the Church Jeopardy tournament or something.
Oh, Lord.
In here.
See, I messed up because I thought that there were four women. Because St. Hillary,
that's a guy.
It's a guy.
It's a guy.
It's a guy that threw me off. Totally threw me off.
Buzzer.
I'm feeling like I'm a victim this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go forth and be the light under the world. Let's bring Christ's love everywhere today. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.
Your transmission.